The message for us this morning is hope in all situations. Hope in all situations. Which one of you here has never had problems in your life? Which one of you here is free from all problems? You know, our first reading, we heard about Adam and Eve hiding from God. Is it possible to hide from God?
No.
Is it possible to hide from God? You know, when we go shopping, there are signs everywhere, isn't it? Warning us that the camera is on us. There's Big Brother watching you in everything that you do, in driving, wherever you are, someone is watching you, isn't it? They actually give you warning. Yeah, when you go to Tesco's or Sainsbury's or Waitrose, wherever you shop, or Morrison's, there is always a camera watching you. So they warn you before you do something, don't they? And when you do it, there is consequences. So the warning signs is there. Adam had walked with God, talked with God. Now, aware of his guilt, he runs away. As we said, nothing can be hidden from God. We can't play hide and seek with God. Now, we heard how Eve was approached by Satan. I mean, Satan actually helped Eve shift, you know, her focus from what God has given her, and try to convince her to disobey God. So she was actually looking at what God has said, do not do, or do not touch, do not eat. Does that sound familiar? I mean, do we always obey what God tells us to do? Do we always obey what God tells us to do? Sometimes we know what we should do, don't we? Come on, I'm not the only guilty one here. Sometimes we know what to do, but we don't do it. We hear this nagging voice in our head. Don't do it. Don't say it. Don't say it. But if you're in an argument and you know you're right, you just can't help yourself. You have to say the last words. And you know that you shouldn't say it. And how often is our attention drawn away from what God has given us? Sometimes we want something, not so much that we need it, but we want it. And then when we do things, or when we do something that is wrong, the guilt is there, isn't it? We feel bad about it. Now, Adam and Eve felt bad about what they did, so they hid from God. And because, I mean, it's not that God doesn't know that they've done something wrong. He's such a loving God that he still comes up and says, Adam, where are you? And he says that, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Who told you that you were naked? Obviously, Satan managed to convince Eve to take the fruit that God has said, do not eat. You can eat anything. I mean, God gives us everything, but what we want or what we need, and he withhold it, that is what our focus is on. We want that. So Satan managed to convince Eve to take the fruit, and the minute they ate it, what happened? Their eyes were open, and they realized that they were naked. And out of embarrassment and shame, they hid. The commandment that God gives us, is it for God? God's good or is it for our own good? It is for our own good. Sometimes we don't understand what God commands us to do. But because God knows what is good for us, he gives us a command, you know, the commandment. But it's not always that we follow. Now, when God asks Adam and Eve what they've done, now Adam blames Eve. Is that normal? Do men normally blame the women for everything? Adam blamed Eve because God placed Eve in the garden for Adam. So Adam tells God, it's the woman that you gave me. Now the woman says, well, it was the serpent. God placed Adam, Eve, and the serpent in the garden. And sometimes do we honestly take responsibility for our own mistakes? Do we blame someone else? But we have, you see, at this stage where we have a living God who actually forgives. He forgives because he knew, right, what Adam and Eve has done. And because they hid, they were aware that they've done something wrong. But God being God, God sets our emotion because he knows that we are imperfect human beings and we are going to be doing things wrong. But when we do something wrong, all God asks of us is to acknowledge it. That's all he's asking. For us to acknowledge it, we had our prayer of confession. It says God is faithful and just, and he will forgive us. We don't need to be afraid of God. He is our loving Father. We cannot hide from God. Because the psalmist said, even in the grave, he's there with us. So there's nowhere for us to hide. We just have to acknowledge what you've done. Even though Adam and Eve were thrown out of the garden, God has a plan because he says that between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers, he will crush your head and he will strike your heel. Jesus Christ was going to come, wasn't he? And he was going to die on the cross to deliver us from all our sins. So God is saying to us this morning that there is hope. There is hope in every situation. God is the God of the impossibility. There is nothing that he cannot do. He knows that we make mistakes. He knows that we make mistakes, but he's asking us not to hide from him. There is no need for us to be frightened by him. Psalm 46, it reads that God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roll and fall and the mountains quake with its surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fail. God will help her at the break of day. And he goes on, nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall, he lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns a shield with fire. He says, be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted among the nations. The Lord Almighty is with us. The Lord Almighty is with us. So when we do something wrong and we feel embarrassed about it, there is no need for us to hide. There is no need for us to run away from God, because God is with us. God will never leave us nor forsake us. Our second reading, which is taken from the book of Corinthians, is to encourage us. Paul writes to the Christians in Corinth because they were facing so many trials. And he was trying to encourage them not to lose heart. As I asked earlier, who is here without problems? Who is here who has not had any issues? To lose heart is to feel exhausted. You don't know what to do. You're tired, you're fed up, you don't want to go on, you just literally want to give up. The Christians in Corinth was having so much trials and tribulation, and Paul himself has gone through so much. He's experienced suffering, persecution. He has even struggled personal weakness. When he asks God to take away the thorn, and God tells him, my grace is sufficient for you. But God never abandoned us. God never abandoned us. And Paul goes on to say that our present trouble is just for a while. So do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, do not lose heart. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. Keep going. Keep going. And it tells them that Christ has won the victory. Christ has won the victory. No matter what happens in our lives, no matter what is going on, I don't know what is going on in your life, I know what is going on in my life. But Paul is saying to the Christians in Corinth that they should not lose heart, that God has never abandoned them. God will never leave you nor forsake you. God will lead you. The only thing he's asking for is for you to run your own race. When you make a mistake, just acknowledge it. But you must never give up. We must never, ever give up. As Christians, we will have tribulations. Jesus has confirmed it, because we are in the world. But the scripture tells us that we are not of the world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. There has to be a difference. And sometimes in your workplace, there are saying, sometimes at home, you could be the only Christian there. And they may not be able to understand you. But Paul is saying, and God is telling us, that we should still continue. We may be weary. Paul tells them that our bodies will groan. I mean, can I even say that there are things that maybe a year or 2 years ago you are able to do, but now you cannot do it? Our body decays. But Paul encourages them that the day will come when they'll be given new body, the resurrection body. So as we're here and we're having problems, maybe through illness, I don't know. It could be anything, but we're told to keep going, not to lose heart. not to lose heart, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Paul also encourages that the Holy Spirit, yes, you'll be exhausted, but inwardly, he gives us the strength. The Holy Spirit gives us the strength to continue. God's grace is sufficient for us. We must not lose heart. If you don't remember anything at all when you leave here, God is saying to us that we must not lose heart. We have to keep going. We have to run the race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. We have to continue running the race as Christians, because we are called. Each one of us here is called. We have to keep going. We mustn't lose heart. Verse 16, therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away. Yes, we are wasting away. Yet, inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. Because the Bible tells us that we're just passing through. We have somewhere to go. In the new heaven, we'll be given new bodies, where we will not be sick. We will not be tired. We will have a perfect body. God will renew us. He will renew our body. Our bodies will not be how it is now. And I find it quite encouraging, very, very encouraging, that Paul is explaining to the Christians in Corinth that even though they are going through a time of persecution and trials, they must not give up. We must not give up as Christians, because God has called us. Yes, we'll be having problems. Yes, maybe today may not be a good day. Tomorrow may be a better day. But God is saying to us that we have to continue the fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. God has given us the strength. God is cheering us on. The Holy Spirit lives in us, and he will continue to give us the strength. If you're here without any problems, problems will come. If you're here and you've had it, I'm sure it has strengthened you. Because when we have issues, it's not always that God takes it away. But God helps us to go through it. As Paul says, to take away the thorn in his flesh, God assured him that his grace is sufficient for him. God's grace is sufficient for you. God's grace is sufficient for you. He will take you through. God never abandoned us. God loves us. Regardless of what is going on in our lives, he is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. So there is hope in every situation. There is hope in every situation. We are serving a living God. We are serving a wonderful God. We have a Father who provides. We have a Father who knows what we need. We have a Father who continues to guide us and protect us. We have a Father who tells us that he knows us before we're even born. And every plan that he has for us is for good. We have a Father who never abandons us. And because of the way that he loves us, he brings his Son to die in our place. I'm sure on Easter Day you sang the hymn, up from the grave he arose. Up from the grave he arose, so because he lives, we will also live. But while we are here, we must never lose heart. While we are here, we must never lose heart. We have to keep going. We have to keep running the race. And my goodness, we will win the race. Because greater is he who's in us. We mustn't be weary. We have to continue serving the Lord. Because he is with us. Amen?
Amen.
He is with us. We are called to make a difference. Like the politicians, but we are different. We are called to make a difference. And God will continue to guide us. Our trials will strengthen us. Someone says that our trials is someone's blessing. Because we go through the trials, we're able to help other people not to make the same mistake. But when we do make the mistake, we have to take the responsibility. And we have to help other people from making the same mistake. But we must remember, we have a God who forgives. We have a God who forgives. Maybe people will make us feel ashamed of what we've done. Or maybe people will make us feel bad because of where we have been. But once we enter the throne room and confess our sins, God renews us. And he says that he does things new. His faithfulness is new every morning. He washes away our sins. And he makes us new again. But we have to continue running our race. We have to continue going. We must not lose heart. We must not lose heart. So as you leave the building this morning, whatever is happening in your life, remember, God is saying to you, do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. Keep going. Keep going. And the day will come when you will win the prize. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You will win the prize. And when the resurrection time comes, and we are given our new bodies, God has promised there will be no illness. Our bodies will be perfect. We will be able to do everything that we want to do. And we will stay like that forever. The day will come. The day will come. And God promises will come true. So do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. Keep running your race. Keep running your race. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ help us. May the Holy Spirit help us. Because God's grace is sufficient for each one of us. His faithfulness is new every day. So I've been sent to tell each one of you not to lose heart. May God help us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.